Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
In the 11th chapter of Romans, Paul uses God's preservation of the 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal to illustrate his preservation of a remnant, to teach the clear lesson of God's sovereign grace. There is no other explanation which ensures the deliverance of those whom he has determined to save. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise grace is no more grace. But if be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. This is a totally unpalatable doctrine to the religious flesh of men, which is certain that men can and will do something to earn God's favor. In fact, men by nature so strongly believe in this idea that they are willing to blaspheme God and accuse him of unrighteousness in doing exactly what he said he would do. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Grace and merit are two mutually exclusive concepts. There is no mixture of the two. Favor shown on the basis of merit or activity is the payment of a debt, whereas mercy is bestowed according to the sovereign prerogative of God. A man cannot be said to deserve mercy. Mercy and grace are closely related, as we see grace occurring as a result of God's mercy, but they are not synonymous, since all of God's creation are the recipients of his mercy in one form or another, while grace is mercy applied to a particular people for a particular purpose. Who has saved us and called us with the holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The Lord's creation of Satan is a testimony to his sovereign prerogative to do as he will with his creation. Who can bring an accusation against him who knows the end from the beginning and orders all things to occur according to his good pleasure? Satan is indeed the embodiment of evil, the father of lies, and one whom the Lord has been pleased to use in the unfolding of his purpose in the earth. We see this manifested as he pointed out his servant Job to Satan and dared him to try to turn Job away from seeking the Lord. We see it when he would use Satan to tempt the Lord Jesus in all points, like as we are. And we see the utter triumph of Christ over Satan foreshadowed as he succumbed to none of Satan's bold attempts to turn him aside. We see it as he entered into Judas, a vessel before prepared unto destruction, and unwittingly fulfilled the purpose of God in delivering Christ into the hands of his tormentors, that he might become a propitiation for the sins of his people. When a man is given eyes to see the state of man by nature and the helpless condition that he has willingly entered into, he cannot help but be struck dumb with amazement that the Lord did not destroy men completely, let alone ordain some to eternal life in the everlasting covenant. And not simply to deliver them from certain destruction, but to raise them up to be trophies of his grace, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Thus we see Zechariah reporting the Lord's rebuke unto Satan, which centers around his everlasting love for Jerusalem, that is the holy city, which is synonymous with his kingdom, made up of that elect remnant which he has redeemed with his own blood. He said that she is an ember which is snatched out of the fire, which would have ultimately consumed it. An ember in the fire has no power to keep itself from destruction. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. One of the greatest descriptions of God's amazing grace to his elect children is found in Ezekiel's prophecy. Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these to thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out into the open field, to the loathing of thy person, in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Has the Lord made you to live?
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.